of him. Well, if you'll turn your Bible today, Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Before you stand, let me just say a couple things here. Go ahead and give me a minute here, and then we'll have you stand and get in the message. Isaiah 57 verse 15 is where we're going. But I do want to thank the church. I know your church loves missions and missionaries and so forth. And two of your missionaries are out of our ministry back there in Indiana from Whittier Lane Baptist Church. John and Marcia Riggs, missionaries to Zambia. And Adam and Christy McGeorge, missionaries to Nauru. Those are both families out of our church that are sent out of our church to the mission field. We appreciate your longtime monthly support of the Riggs. They're coming up on 30 years that they've been at it over there in Zambia. They have 8 churches and a Bible Institute and a youth camp that he's started there, and they've done a great work there. And of course, the McGeorges are not rookies. They went to the field in 2008, and they're working at it as well. And thank you for supporting them and praying for them. And I know all the other missionaries need that as well. But as their pastor that sent them out years ago, we're grateful for your support of them. Okay, let's go ahead and stand together. Enjoyed the music today. Good congregational singing and all of that, and the instruments. What a blessing. And that is something for us to enjoy and be blessed by. Isaiah 57 verse 15. One verse for our text. I want to read this verse. I have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated and we'll get into the message. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. Let's pray. Father, again today we thank you for your word, and we pray your blessings on the reading of thy word. And now I pray for your guidance and direction and help for the preaching of thy word. I pray you'll give me clarity of thought and strength of voice and liberty and power, and use me, Lord, to bring a message that you'll use to minister to hearts today. Lord, I pray you'll help me in the message. I pray you'll be pleased by the message. But even more than that, I pray you'll be pleased by the response of people to thy word and thy spirit as you work. Lord, we know that you will work because you've promised that your word shall not return void. And I pray that you'd use your word to minister to these hearts today. And Lord, I know any good thing that's done today, you'll be the doer of it. And we thank you. We can count on you to do that. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and please be seated. This is a verse that is full of a lot of things that we can teach and preach today, and I'm not going to be able to preach through the whole verse, but it speaks of the high and lofty one whose name is holy. Of course, that's Almighty God. Amen. Dwells there with those that are of a contrite and humble spirit. Those are words we can sure spend some time on there. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. And the contrite there means worn or bruised. It means to be brokenhearted is what it's talking about there. The idea is brokenhearted for our sins. But today's message is on one word that's in this text, and it's the word eternity. Our text is the only place in the Bible that you will find the word eternity. Many places we see the word eternal and everlasting in many places, but this is the only place you see the word eternity. And the Bible says he's the one that inhabiteth eternity, and we are made in his image. And we're made to be eternal beings as well. Right now we are inhabiting time, but all of us will eventually inhabit eternity. The word eternity means continuance of time without end. There was a man in Sydney, Australia, lived in Sydney, Australia, by the name of Arthur Stace. He was known in the city by the name of Mr. Eternity. And he was an illiterate man who got saved when he was 37 years old. He couldn't read or write, but he certainly knew about the word eternity. And basically, he knew how to draw the word eternity. And he wrote a one-word message on the sidewalks of Sydney, Australia, in chalk. He worked each night. He worked at nighttime. And every day in the morning, people on their way to work and being about the city, they would see that one word message, eternity. You think about that. You get up and wherever you go on a given day, you look down and you see the word eternity. It ought to make you think about it, hadn't it? And that was his unusual ministry. And very few people knew his real name, but everyone in Sydney had heard of Mr. Eternity. He was saved at the age of 37. He died when he was 82 years old. His 45 years as a Christian, he wrote his one-word message over 500,000 times. So it wasn't to go out and write it down a couple times each night. He spent some time each night writing the word. The word eternity, or the thought of eternity, is something that ought to sober our thoughts. I think it's a sobering message. About eternity, it's a greatly needed message, and yet it's an often unheeded message. But I believe the knowledge and the certainty of eternity should have an effect on each of our lives, every day of our lives. We're headed for eternity. I thought up a real clever original title for the message today. The title of the message is Eternity. Okay. And so we're going to look at four thoughts about eternity in the course of the message today. First of all, I want you to notice the endlessness of eternity. Eternity means continuance of time without end. Once you've entered eternity, there's no turning back. There is no reprieve. It marches on forever and ever. A humorous thought about the longest and shortest periods of time. It's been said humorously that the longest period of time is between a woman's 29th and 30th birthday. That can last a long, long time. And one of the shortest periods of time is the time between the traffic light turns green and the person behind you starts to honk his horn. And so, long and short periods of time. But seriously, the longest period of time is eternity. It's forever. There's no end to it. A very short period of time is your or my life on this earth. When you think about a comparison there, the snap of a finger or the blink of an eye compared to a long life on this earth is a greater ratio than this life compared to eternity. Because you're dividing the infinite by the finite when you talk about eternity. This life is a little time. Eternity is continuance of time without end. I read this many years ago and it impacted my thoughts, and I just wrote it down, and I mention this every once in a while, but if you want to get some idea of how long eternity is, just think about the Rock of Gibraltar. Yeah, the Rock of Gibraltar is a great rock that is on the north side of the western entrance to the Mediterranean Sea. That Rock of Gibraltar, many would recognize it as it's a long time icon or the representative of the Prudential Insurance Company. Their saying for many years was, "Own a piece of the rock." Well, that Rock of Gibraltar is 1,398 feet high, coming right up out of sea level. And it's not just a little bit. It comes up and then it goes down like this. It's a huge, huge rock there. If you would picture in your mind that a sparrow would fly up and at the top of that rock, peck it with its beak and fly away. And then 100 years later, another sparrow fly and peck that. And another 100 years and so on. In the time that it would take those sparrows to reduce that huge rock to a little pile of rubble, that would be a start on eternity. Our minds can't fathom how long it really is. So I want you to notice the first thing, the endlessness of eternity. Secondly today, the nearness of eternity. In John chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus was speaking to a group of unbelievers, and he said, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. That group that day were trying to chide him to get him to go to a place where he knew people wanted to kill him. And Jesus could have went there and stayed alive until it was his time, but he didn't go at that time. He went a little bit later on. But he said, my time to die or my time to enter eternity is not yet come, but your time is always ready. And the truth is, you and I are very near to eternity. Eternity for you or me could be as near as our next breath, or our next step, or our next heartbeat. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Someday you'll take your last step on this earth. Amen. You'll take your last breath. Your heart will beat its very last time. And that could come before you get home today. Or get up in the morning. Or come back next week. Our time is always ready. Jesus knew when his time was. We don't know that. And it may be later than you think. There was a man who ran up to the ticket clerk at a train station one day and he said, when does the 801 train leave? And the ticket clerk said, at 801. And the man said, my watch says 756. And the town clock says 758. And the station clock says 804. So when will the 801 leave? And the answer was, it left 3 minutes ago at 801. Our train will leave when God says it's time. Amen? Amen. For many people, it's later than they think. People enter eternity every day unexpectedly. They enter eternity every day without realizing they were going to die that day. Young people, middle-aged people, elderly people, sick people, healthy people. People die on the highways, in hospitals, at home, at work, in all kinds of places, people die. Years ago, while I was pastoring, and as many of you know, I pastored the same place for 43 years, so I have some stories I could tell if I wanted to really go on today. But in a period of about 8 months, I did funerals for 8 men that died unexpectedly. There was a 38-year-old man who was the father of one of our kids who rode the bus to church. He was a 14-year-old boy at that time, and his dad was 38 years old, and his dad was a construction worker who worked in concrete. He wasn't a real large man, but he looked like a chunk of concrete. I mean, he was a heavy work that can be and all that, and he was a very strong, very fit-looking man. And one evening he came home from work and he was there as the evening grew on and he started having chest pains. And he told his wife finally, he said, you know, I think we better go to the hospital. I can't get this to stop. And so they got in a car and we're a small town. It took about 10 minutes to get to the hospital. And she drove him to the hospital. And as they drove up to where he could have got out and went in the emergency room there, he said, you know, it stopped hurting. I think I'm going to be okay. So they turned around and went back home, and as they pulled on the driveway, got a heart attack and went out like that. 38 years old. And then, not long after that, there was a 41-year-old man who was the son of the lady who played the organ for our church for many years, and he was out walking his dog one day, 41 years old, and he got tangled up and in the leash or something, and he tripped and he fell. And he got up and dusted himself off, but he hurt real bad in his abdominal area. And he went on home and stayed there for a while. And he finally said, you know, I think I need to go to the emergency room. And he went and they checked him out the best they could and looked him over and so forth. I don't know what all tests they did, but they kept him there a while. And they said, as far as we can see, you've pulled some muscles. You're just going to be very sore for a while. And so he went back home and was there that night. The next morning it was hurting real bad, so he didn't go to work. And a little bit after noon that day, he was sitting on the couch, and he slumped over and fell on the floor dead. And he had bled to death internally. They missed that at the hospital. Somebody said, boy, that hospital, it's their fault. No matter whose fault it was, he entered eternity.
That's right.
He died that day very unexpectedly. Shortly after that, a 40-year-old man that I had known his father for a long time, he was a pastor in a different city for a long time, and his son was on his way to work and was killed in a car accident at 40 years old. And then the last one, and this is in sequence, was a 24-year-old man. He was actually my cousin's son, so he'd have been my second cousin. My cousin owned a junkyard, a salvage yard. And his son of 24 years old was out working on a car, taking a part off of it that somebody had come and wanted, and he was getting ready to take it in. And while he was taking that part off, he just passed out on the ground there. And they, of course, they found him relatively quickly and got him to the hospital and so forth, and he had had a brain aneurysm. And they had him on life support for a few days, but he never regained consciousness, 24 years old, like that, out into eternity. You know, that's repeated, those kind of things are repeated every day, many times a day, across the country and around the world. The nearness of eternity is something we need to come to grips with. Let me give you a poem I heard a long time ago. It says, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed, to lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore." You know, I timed that, read that a few times, and if I did it like I did before, it took 26 seconds for me to recite that poem. And while I was reciting that, 45 people died around the world. 45 people. So we've seen the endlessness of eternity and the nearness of eternity. And here's what I found. Many people consider eternity to be a very insignificant thing as far as they're concerned. They look at it as it being insignificant because it's so far away. But the truth is, eternity's forever, but it's not far away. It's not far away. They consider it to be insignificant and far away, but the truth of the matter is, if you compare them, our life on this earth is insignificant compared to eternity. Now, our life on this earth is very significant because it's in this life that we make our plans for eternity. We make decisions that affect our eternity. You follow what I'm saying here? And our life, I'm not saying our life's not important, because it is very important. It's a great gift from God while we have it on this earth. But we better have eternity in focus as well. Because we can step into eternity at any point in time, as Jesus said. So, we need to talk about the two places of eternity. There are only two places. Every person will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. I like talking about heaven, don't you? Amen. I like thinking about heaven. I'm going there. I know I'm going there by faith in Christ. Heaven is a place of well-being above imagination. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." We know some things about it. Makes me want to go there when it's time to go. But the Bible even says we haven't imagined it. On the other hand, hell is a place of torment beyond imagination. There are three things that are very real. The first one is heaven. Praise God for that. Amen. Heaven is real. It's inhabited by the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's inhabited by all the holy angels and all the saints of all time. A saint means, that means a child of God. And all those that are children of God will be in heaven. It's a place where there are streets of gold and gates of pearl, a river of life and a tree of life that bears 12 manner of fruit, and that river of life flows out of the throne of God. What a wonderful place that will be. I think about streets of gold. I'm not going to get stuck on this because I can say a lot about heaven here today. But when I think about streets of gold, we make streets here out of concrete and asphalt. And the Bible says there's streets of gold and it's clear gold. I've never seen any of that before. I've seen yellow gold and what they call white gold, but I've never seen clear gold, but the streets are there made out of gold. And we could go on and describe other things, but it's a place of joy. It's a place of fellowship, and I love fellowship, don't you? Amen. I enjoy being around brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a place of perfect health. It's a place of wealth. It's a place of satisfaction and contentment and many other wonderful words we could use to describe it. It's a wonderful place. It's a place where there will be no death, no pain, no sorrow, no crying, and no sin. You know, I get excited about the things I know will be there, but I think I have a pretty good understanding of things that won't be there. And that makes it very, very appealing just in the things that won't be there. Thank God for that. Heaven is real and it's wonderful beyond our comprehension. I think when we get to heaven, those that we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're going to heaven. Those of us that do know Him will be going there. I think when we get there, we'll be like the Queen of Sheba was when she went to visit King Solomon. The Queen of Sheba had heard about the wealth and the wisdom and the fame of King Solomon, and she got a caravan together to go visit King Solomon. And it says there in, I think it's 1 Kings chapter 10, she says in that chapter that she went there to prove that everybody was exaggerating. And when she got there, now I'll not try, I could have read it, but after a second time I won't read it all. But when she got there, He told her all her questions. She had stored up some questions. I'm going to stump this guy. And he had the answers for everything. He told her all her questions. And she saw his wealth. And she heard his wisdom. And then it talked about the sitting of his servants and their apparel and all of that. Evidently they wore pretty fancy uniforms or whatever. But all there was about his kingdom, and the Bible said there was no more spirit in her. It's like the air went out. And she said, I thought they were exaggerating, but the truth is the half has not been told. And I believe when we get to heaven, the half has not been told. It'll be better than anything we could imagine, and it's real. First of all, heaven is real. Secondly, hell is real. It's inhabited by the devil. By all the fallen angels, we call them demons. Those are the fallen angels. And all of the unsaved, everybody that leaves this life without Jesus Christ as their Savior, will go to hell. That's where they'll be. It's a place of torment, literal fire, an unbearable thirst. And we could go on and talk about weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. When I think about the unbearable thirst, I can't help but think about the rich man and Lazarus. And that's a true story. And the rich man wanted Lazarus to come to just dip his finger in water and come and touch his tongue. And I know it gets a lot hotter here than where I'm from, but I know what hot, humid weather is, and I know what it's like to work out in the sun and the heat and so forth. And I have never been so thirsty or even close to thirsty enough that I would wanted to lick your wet finger. I've never wanted just a drop or two of water. When I'm thirsty, I want a jug. And I'd like it cold, but even if it's not cold, I just want water. And you know, he had that kind of thirst. I believe he had an unbearable thirst. And here's the sad truth when you want to think about it. He still never had a drop of water. Amen. That was 2,000 years ago. And he will never have a drop of water. And everyone who goes to hell will experience the same thing forever. So heaven is real and it's wonderful. Hell is real and it's horrible. And eternity is real. There is a hereafter that is forever. You will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And the fourth thing I want to talk about today is the preparation for eternity. I don't know if you ever looked at it this way or not, but in a very real sense, this life is our preparation for eternity. We will inhabit eternity. The truth is, you can either earn your way to hell or trust your way to heaven. And all the other religions of the world have it backwards, don't they? You got to earn your way to heaven is what they say. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I know what wages are. That's what we earn. And we earn by our sin death. Not just physical death of the body. It's speaking of the second death, which is eternal separation from God in a place called hell that we just described. And the truth is, we've all earned hell. Amen. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. I know there's many things that are glorious about God, but perhaps God's chief attribute is His holiness. And because we've sinned, we come short of His holiness. Amen. And by the way, once we've sinned one time, we are now classified as sinners. And we have earned our way to hell. But the same verse that says the wages of sin is death, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that eternal life comes by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible tells us that Jesus, the just one, died for me and you, the unjust ones, that He might bring us to God. He said of Himself, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Thank God Jesus died for our sins. Amen. And He's told us in His Word, Paul wrote this as he was speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. He said, I have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house and testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. And this is what He did not withhold. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to be saved, you have to, in your heart, before God, you must acknowledge that you're a sinner. Amen. And have a genuine, sincere desire in your heart to turn your life toward Him and away from the sin and the worldly things you've lived for. That's a heart matter. That's not a work. That's a heart matter. And then you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ and believe that when He died on the cross and He shed His blood, that His blood is sufficient to wash your sins away. To cause you to be justified in His sight. Justified by faith in Jesus Christ. You know, it's a matter of trusting your works, and by those you've earned your way to hell. Or it's a matter of trusting Jesus Christ who died for your sins. And in your heart, receive Him as personal Savior. And then you'll go to heaven. You know, all of us has already prepared Himself for eternity. You're prepared for eternity one way or the other. I used to ask people, and I still ask them this sometimes, it's not wrong to ask this, but I've asked people, are you prepared to die? And you know, all of us are prepared to die. Not everybody's prepared to die and go where they want to go. But everybody's prepared to die. You right now, as we gather together this morning, you're prepared that if you die today, you're prepared to go either to heaven or hell. Right. What I'd like to see happen if you're not prepared to go to heaven, that you'd get prepared today. Amen. By receiving Christ as Savior. Eternity is the continuance of time without end. Mr. Eternity wrote his one-word message on the sidewalks of Sydney, Australia, over 500,000 times. I would to God, God would allow me to write that one word message on your hearts today, to where it would affect our lives like God would want us to be affected by the knowledge of eternity. Eternity is endless. It's near. There's two places of eternity, and you're prepared for one or the other. The poem I read, "The Clock of Life is Wound But Once," it's talking about how long you're going to live on this earth. No man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. The knowledge and the certainty of eternity should affect all of us every day of our lives. Christians and lost people as well, we should live each day of our life in the light of the knowledge that eternity is just around the corner for us. You say, how should it affect us? Well, if you're lost, it should cause you to be saved. I am not ashamed to stand here and tell you I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I knew very little about heaven, and what I thought I knew about heaven, some of it was just stuff that I didn't know what was right about heaven. I knew I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew I did want to go to heaven. I didn't know about the joy and the peace and the things that I would learn and the things that God would do with and in and through my life. I didn't know about those things, but I knew that I need to get ready to go to heaven. Don't be ashamed if the only reason you get saved is because you don't want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven instead. Amen. Jesus preached 7 times more about hell than he did about heaven. And if anybody understands human nature, it was Jesus. Amen? And he did that because he understood we need to know about that. It should affect you to be saved if you're lost. And by the way, if you're here today and you're not saved, you can get saved this morning. You can get saved this day. Before we leave here today, Christians, it should affect us to live right. Should cause us to want to serve God faithfully, to be faithful witnesses for Christ to those that are not saved. You say, you've said all this about two places of eternity. Getting saved prepares you to go to heaven. Living for God and serving God and walking with God prepares you for great rewards in heaven. I mean, heaven will be wonderful for everybody, but there will be those at the judgment seat of Christ that are thinking, I had such opportunities to do right and to serve God and pass them up. We need to get prepared for eternity. This is not a verse of the Bible, but it sure is a biblical concept. And that is that there's only one life as far as this life is concerned. It'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians are praying. No one's looking around. There are those that are coming to the altar right now already. This is invitation time. This is the time to respond to the Lord as He spoke to your heart. But I want to ask a couple questions. You come at any time you're ready to come. If God's dealing with you and you need to come, you come on. But I wonder if there'd be anybody here today who would say by the uplifted hand, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't have that assurance if I died today that I'm going to heaven. But I am concerned about my soul." Would you let me pray for you? Would you slip your hand up and back down? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. "Preacher, I don't know. Or I know I'm lost, and I'm concerned. Would you let me pray for you? I wouldn't embarrass you, wouldn't call your name if I know it. I won't come back and try to get you to do something you don't want to do. But I'd like to pray for you. It's important for you to acknowledge to yourself and to the Lord, and even one other person, this is real in your life. Preacher, I'm not saved, but I'm concerned. Will you pray for me?" Just slip your hand up and back down. Perhaps today there'd be those who'd say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but God spoke to my heart about a spiritual need in my life. He's dealing with me about a need for a decision or a commitment. something I need to get right. Could I pray for you? Just slip your hand up and back down. God bless you today, and God bless you and you as well. Would there be others this morning? Can I pray for you? In the light of eternity, yes, God bless you. In the light of eternity, even though I'm saved, in the light of eternity, I know there's something that needs to be different in my life. God bless you as well. And God bless you. And you as well. God bless you today. Father, thank you for this time to be together in your word and around your word. And thank you for the truth and power of it. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray for each that's raised their hands. Lord, I pray that you would help them to have the courage and the conviction and the good sense to say yes to you, to do what needs to be done. And Lord, there's probably some that didn't raise their hand that you're dealing with them, whether it's about the need to be saved or the need in the life of a Christian to get something right. I pray they'll do your bidding today. I pray you'll be honored and glorified by the response of people to your word and your spirit this day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the music plays, as our song leader sings, Spirit of God spoke to your heart. If you want to sing with them, you can. Or if not, that's okay. But if God's dealing with you, this is decision time in the house of God. Would you say yes to the Lord? Would you make that commitment? Make that decision? Will you come? God spoke to your heart. Some of you raise your hand. It's important to recognize the need, but now you need to do the doing of it. The Bible says to Christians, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's nothing about getting saved. We're already saved. That's about getting back in His favor. Getting back in step with Him. Would you surrender to Him? Will you do God's bidding? As the music plays, Spirit of God works. Would you say yes to the Lord? You did exactly what the Lord would have you to do. Would you stay in your seat or would you come and kneel? You need somebody to help you. Say, I need to get saved, but I don't know what to do. If you come, somebody will help you with that. Show you how to be saved. Christian, you might need some help as well. There are those who would be glad to pray with you and help you. I'm going to be quiet. Let the music play. God's dealing with you. This time's for you. Will you come?
Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
We'll sing it through one more time.
All to Jesus I surrender.